morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. And as per usual, we're going to start the show off the same way we start every show off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
What are you up, boss? Welcome to the Mac City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norel Toyota. We support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and that's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
All right, we're back. We have a very excited guest on the show today, but before we get to him, we got to shout out Norel Toyota. Norel, Keith, Fad, Nimmer, all the boys and girls down there for being the title sponsor. Thank you very much. We appreciate and love your support. On that note, as you know, I don't introduce my guests because they introduce themselves because they can do a better job at it than I. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are?
My name is Matthew Britton. Born and raised in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Same as Elliot, which I find really cool based off of our perspectives of growing up.
Yeah. Well, you and Tanner grew up in the same area in regards to you both went to comp. So everybody at home, and we're not going to give away the location. We've never given away the location of the show. But Matt's our next door neighbor. Now, this is the last episode ever filmed in this location, unfortunately, because we are moving to a new location, so get ready for that. We got to title that, too, like last time ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Last guest on our show.
Yeah. And so it's sad days here, so Matt's like, I'm finally going to come and do the show. So, but honored. You grew up downtown, though.
No, I grew up in Beacon Hill.
Born
and raised in Beacon Hill.
Other side of the bridge is what I should have said.
Yeah,
so 100%. Where in Beacon Hill?
Drive right off of the Greenbelt.
Okay. I lived for, I want to say, 6 years on Beaver Glen Close.
This is my first time ever living outside of Beacon Hill, except for like after the fire or anything.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in Gregoire for like 6 months, but okay. This is my first time ever actually not being a resident of Beacon Hill.
How you liking it? It's a different vibe.
It's all right. It's different, especially the whole independence thing, like on my own and stuff, being out of the house for like the first time and taking those steps and stuff. But I've been around Abbotsford my whole life.
Yeah,
up here, friends up here, and
yeah,
I like it. I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I find every, I call them subdivision: Beacon Hill, Abbotsford, Timberley, Thickwood. Every place has a different feel. Mm-hmm. Although Abbotsford and Beacon Hill are similar, they're still different.
They're unique.
Yeah,
Beacon Hill's quiet. Out of everywhere, quiet. Beacon Hill is probably the quietest place you can be.
That's right.
Here every night, you hear skidoos and quads and all that stuff. So it's definitely different, but still.
The one thing that I'll say about both neighborhoods is people mind their own business.
100%.
Like, you do you, I do me. We all see what's going on, but just like, you mind your business.
It's where we are. I've met practically almost every neighbor. Never an issue. Never anything at all. Genuinely good
That's
people.
That's right. Genuinely good people.
I literally did the viewing for the place and seen Tanner next door, and I was like, there's no way. And he's dude, he's like, you got to be my neighbor. And I was like, I think you guys sold the deal for me.
Yeah.
I had to do it now, right?
I like it. And then the one thing that I really like about this, we're in Abbotsford for everybody who needs to know. We're not going to tell you we're in Abbotsford. But same thing I found when I was in Beacon Hill was you knew all of your neighbors. And not just, like, left and right, but across the street, down the way. Like, it's a real, and growing up here, that's what Fort Mac was to me. Mm-hmm. It's a real sense of community where you know everybody.
Yeah.
And Timberley, it's not like that. That's in the new part of Timberley. Like, I know, I've been up there for 8 years now, and I know some of my neighbors.
Not as easy, though.
It's not as easy. You got to put in the work. People.
My mom's ran the preschool in Beacon Hill for like 15 years, so getting to know people throughout the years, you walk downtown and they're like, oh, hey, your mom taught my kid and everything, so you definitely get that sense of like, everybody's around, everybody's together, and it's not that hard, and my neighbors have been my neighbors up there for a lifetime. Like, my next-door neighbor's essentially like my grandmother.
That's
and
right.
Ron's practically like my uncle, and like, it's just, it's pretty much family up there from when I grew up there, so like, after the fire, things were different, people being separated and stuff, but it still felt the same.
The cool thing about Beacon Hill and the fire, I know a lot of people in Beacon Hill that, like, after the fire, and, like, you could only go in certain times, like, they gated the community, you could only be in, like, for, like, 8 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I know people who are just, like, waiting when the gate opened and just would go to their house and chill.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, we're just here.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to leave now? Like, and then they'd go to the rented place in Timberley, and then they'd just be like, yeah, every day we go on the patio or we do whatever. But we hang out on Beacon Hill. I'm like, ride or die, Beacon Hill.
Our home was the first home actually brought back to Beacon Hill.
Okay.
So after everything besides everything that didn't burn, ours was the first. So like now if you're on my parents' front porch.
Yeah.
Before, when everything wasn't built, you could see Shell. You could see...
That's right.
Like, where the Super 8 used to be and all that kind of stuff. Like, you could see across everything. You could see Thomas Pizza, Beacon Hill School, all that stuff. And then slowly seeing stuff come back. Like, the condos are the exact same, so you still get that feeling of everything is the same, but everything's a little bit newer. Everything got spiced up a little bit.
That's right. And it's like, the houses are bigger. The lots are...
Yeah.
Like, it was the oldest part of town, and now it's the newest part of town. I literally just had two buddies move up there last week. They moved from Timberley to Beacon Hill because now, like, again, these beautiful houses. The beautiful thing about Beacon Hill is the lot sizes. Like, you actually have a lot up there. You have space.
Yeah.
And certain parts of Timberley, you don't. Like, you're high-fiving your neighbor in certain parts. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Not in my, like, I don't have high-five my neighbor, but certain parts of Timberley, you're so close to one another. And in Beacon Hill, you have... space, you got a nice yard, you can hang out. My favorite thing about Beacon Hill, especially for kids, like you would have incurred this or you would have seen this while growing up, is because of all those alleyways, you never have to touch the concrete.
Yeah,
like you, like when you're growing up in certain areas, you're like, hey mom, I want to go hang out with my buddy. And when you're so young, like you don't get to leave the street.
Yeah,
understandable, there's cars and stuff, you know what I mean. In Beacon Hill, you're just like, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with my buddy 10 blocks down. Again, I'm going to take the alleyway the whole route. Your parents are like...
You got the green belt that goes all the way around Beacon Hill, too. So
that's
like,
right.
Growing up, there was a spot called the Sand Dunes, like right in the base of Beacon Hill where we used to build dirt jumps, ride our bikes and everything. So you'd even follow the path of the green belt. And like before the fire, there was the paintball course that was right across.
I was just going to bring that up.
Right across from the store. Oh, yeah, 100%, man.
Do you know who put that together? I've never seen anything like that in my life.
We used to throw parties down there
too. No doubt.
Definitely a good spot for a party and everything. It was nice.
Those were quite fun.
Like whoever built that.
You're welcome.
Somebody came in, like for people who've never, and it's burnt down now, but like somebody made a legit paintball course out there with like
permanent bunkers, foxholes, everything.
Everything.
Yeah, and then they're
unbelievable.
I can't remember the name, but there used to be a group that used to do it in town. And a couple people, me and Tanner, used to go to school with. Like they got professional enough to the point where they brought these like professional nets to do a gate, kind of like a gated area where it was safe. So that was your safe zone. So they'd always go there. They'd have their lunch. They'd fill up their paintballs, fill up their gas, and so on and so forth. Right at the beginning. But then it was a huge space. Like every year, every summer, people would go there and they get bigger and bigger. And they'd put like stands in the trees so people could climb trees and get people and everything. They definitely put their time into it. And like trails everywhere. Like even for the dog park, if you go past the dog park, there's 1 mile that goes all the way down to the river. And grew up all those trails.
That's
so like the difference from the fire to now is definitely kind of sad, but it's still all there.
For sure.
It's just, it's a different perspective of it from growing up.
Cause that's right.
As a kid, I'd never be home. I'd be on my bike. I'd be out in the bush. I'd be whatever, right?
Yeah. It was the same I was born and raised in Abasan, actually, until I was 5. And my parents moved me to Dickensfield. And they still live there to this day in the same house. But we have the same kind of trail system, the Birchwood Trails up there. And although they weren't touched by the fire, after fire was done, like, forestry went in and they, like, started to, like, groom and clean them. And they, like, really took out a lot. So, like, walking through those trails now, although not burnt, completely different environment than what I grew up in. In regards to, like, I didn't know how close Thickwood and Timberley really was because you couldn't see. The forest was so dense.
Yeah.
And now you're just like, oh, wow, you're, like,
straight shot.
Like,
it's not as far.
Not as far. And I used to walk it, but you could never see it before. And now even where my parents live in Dickensfield, they have the forest that blocks the road. But now, like, you can hear it because they clear cut. So the fire definitely changed the landscape for sure.
Even viewing from like Abasan to Beacon Hill, like if you go on the trail in the back of Abasan by the pump house, you can see Beacon Hill now, and it puts into perspective close it was. Like that 1 mile trail I talked about, there's a trail that's called Hogsback that goes from Beacon Hill to Abasan.
Okay.
And you can actually see that now. And when you're on a quad before the fire, it seems like a ride. Like it seems like you're there for a bit, but in reality, in within 2-3 minutes, you're in Abasan and you can actually see where you started, where you came from. And
that's
it's just different.
It's So what school did you go to in Beacon Hill? Beacon Hill or
Beacon Hill School?
Beacon Hill School, and then you went to Composite afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, like, I asked Tanner. I have Tanner's perspective, and I grew up with some people that transferred from some of like Greeley Road and all these schools to Father Merck,
mm-hmm.
Or from Comp. What was Comp like for you in regards to a school?
It was a good time.
Yeah.
I made poor choices, but. Yeah. I had a high school experience. Made my choices. I slacked off a bit, but high school was good.
That's everybody.
I reflect on it all the time. Yeah. Like, I could have done things differently, but at the same time, I don't think I really would have if I had a chance to do it again, because I had fun. I had experiences and, like, played on the ball team, played on the volleyball team. Like, I got into sports when I was down in high school, so, like, I definitely tried to take a part of that stuff and skip school, did my thing every other time, like,
every
kid normally would, right?
That's right.
But I ended up graduating from Frank Spragans.
That's okay.
I ended up transferring to after.
Okay.
This kid never skips school. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Me?
No, me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Me neither.
Buddy, skip school together, man.
Yeah.
It was a good experience. And if you go down there now, just the difference on like the remodel that they did to Comp itself.
Oh,
like
weird.
The perspective is different. Going and seeing teachers now too is really weird, because now I'm 24 years old. I was there when I was 14, right?
That's right.
And so like just the view of it, and like how you view, like, I was like that, or I was here at this time, and like it's kind of freaking out a little bit
doubt.
To realize
no
that
doubt.
That was like 6 years after.
Mm-hmm. Do I know the answer to this, but I know recently we've bumped into some people at Comp, educators and adults that work there, and they were trying to tell myself and Tanner, like, oh, it's different now, and maybe it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't know, but I don't go there, I don't intend, I'm too old. But Comp always had a reputation about being the tough school in town.
Yeah.
Like, it just was.
Yeah.
You guys are younger than me. When you went to Comp, do you think it still had that reputation? Was it like a legitimate?
Oh, it was still that way. But if you drive past school now, you don't see kids outside causing trouble anymore.
Right.
Like, you don't see anybody down at the box or down the alleys or anything. It just seems like a different place. And even when you walk in there, just people are dressed differently than how we were a few years ago, and they just carry themselves differently.
Right.
Like, you look at some kids and you're like, man, I was kind of bad.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely.
Well, I've told this story a few times, but when I was going to high school, we used to have tri-high dances.
Mm.
So a tri-high dance was Merck, Westwood, and Comp. And when I was, I think, at the end of my grade 9 year, going into grade 10, or maybe it was at the beginning of grade 10, Comp wasn't allowed to come anymore.
Mm.
And so they still call them tri-high dances, but Comp was not allowed to come to any of the dances. Now, we could go down to their dance. Nobody did. But, Comp was, like, it was rough.
Yeah, we had our own dances.
I didn't know we even had dances until, like, 6 months ago.
How? How do you not know?
Because he never went.
I know you probably
went
to
the
dances.
You had to go to school
to
know.
Yeah.
But you didn't even have to go to school.
Didn't work your posters and like.
No.
No.
Oh, that's how you wouldn't know.
Like,
that.
It was like,
see,
the
I don't
student
know.
Council kids would like set it up, and it would be off of Comp's location. And so then it would just be like the student council and
their friends.
Where
would the dance
be? Justin Slade Youth Foundation used to host them.
Oh, weird.
So sometimes Comp dances.
Oh, weren't at Comp.
No, sometimes they would be at Merck or Westwood.
Really?
Yep.
Weird.
I can't say I participated.
No, me neither.
Dances.
This is the one thing about you kids I don't understand. And I'm an old man. I don't understand. Dude, when dances were on, like, you had to go. I don't understand why anybody would miss the dance.
Because we were throwing our own dances.
You got to think of it in the perspective of, like, our age difference. Everything was looked at differently for that kind of a part. Like, most people our age are probably like, I'm too cool to go or anything.
Yeah.
I can't say I wasn't one of those people.
Right.
We had our own parties anyways.
That's the thing. If they're sitting here saying they got a dance at school, we had a fire on the go. We had pallet fires. We were out on quad, or we were
just
out and about. We didn't need to go there to do that kind of stuff, because we did it ourselves, and we didn't have to worry about chaperones and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
If we wanted to do something, we'd go out and do it on our own.
See,
like I was talking about the paintball course. We had fires there every weekend. And
So you partied. I get that. And we partied. We had bush parties. Like there's a few. Yeah, we had bush party stuff. But like the school dance represented all of the girls. Like girls went to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you see the girls in your classes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you'd talk to them and whatever. But there was girls who were in different classes that you never got any FaceTime with.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew they were coming to the dance. And then because you had these, like, combined dances, all of a sudden there was girls from other schools coming.
Mm.
So you would never get like that chance to like meet or mingle with them. So you're like, I'm going to the dance, and then you network, and then you got to go to the parties afterwards with these new people. So like, but the dance was the hub to make all of those other connections.
But those new people ain't coming to the Bush parties.
Like, but you would, 100%. Like,
no, they wouldn't.
Not at
not
all.
In our generation.
Not in our generation.
Oh. You go to the dance.
You had your group that you hung around with. There was pretty much a group for everybody kind of thing, right?
Right.
And like, you had all the troublemakers, yeah. The stoners, so on and so forth.
And you guys
right?
have this too. Like, we yeah. didn't have these.
Yeah,
didn't
see,
have phones,
see you,
so.
Had, you had physical like connection and everything with each other.
That's
and
right.
Us, if you're going to hit somebody up, you're going to shoot them a message and be like, hey, man, this is what's going on. You didn't.
That's right.
You didn't have to put effort into it. Like growing yeah. up, I'd show up on my bike at a friend's house, knock on the door, and be like, "Hey, are they home?" And
yeah, that's
you'd
right.
hear no, and you go home. And now it's
that's right.
I could pick up my phone. I could make a phone call right now and be like, "Hey, are you guys at home?" And you could yeah. say yes or no. I wouldn't just
that's
think
right.
of walking over anymore to do it. So it's
that's
just
right.
it's just different, right? And then like now, I can't sit here and say like I know what it goes on in school anymore. But I feel like it's even more different
oh,
than how it was for
facts.
Like me and Tanner when we were in high school. Like social media is a lot bigger and like. Mm. People just take things differently, and I don't know. I can't, like, it's tough to explain because in reality we were just like them.
Yeah.
But times are different, so like
that's right.
they probably process things or handle things differently than we do. We were there, you were there, my parents were there, everybody was there at some
yeah.
point. But like, everything changes, everything 100%. Evolves. So like, how we treated things is probably not how they did.
No.
And like, the good thing about comp when we were there is every teacher was amazing. Like, you had teachers as a kid, you're like, I don't want to go to that class or I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
But a lot of teachers that really stood out. I could definitely say I learned a lot of stuff from a lot of those teachers. That
Shout out Schaffner.
Shout out Mark Wilson. 100%.
Yeah.
They're amazing people. They were good people. They were your teacher, but they were also
your friend.
There for you. They were genuinely friends to you. They took care of you. And if they were seeing you were doing down, they'd try and pick you back up. If they seen you weren't in school, they're gonna nag on you for it. They're just gonna give you their perspective of it and be like, hey, like this isn't smart. Like you gotta go to school. You're here for a reason, and as a kid you're not gonna listen.
That's
but
right.
Schaffner would just bully you into it.
Schaffner bully you into
yeah.
it.
Make you 100%.
She's
hilarious.
She's an amazing woman. She's
oh.
definitely
yeah.
somebody I learned.
It worked
from.
The best.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get bullied by Schaffner, so I showed up.
I don't like to use the word hate, so I'm gonna not use the word hate. I would very much dislike going to school nowadays with this phone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it'd be weird. You're 39.
That's right, yeah. But I can only imagine, like, because think about, like, we didn't have any, there was no repercussions unless you got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you sit there on your phone in class and you'd just be texting and be like, put it down, and you'd literally put it behind a
no,
book.
No, no, no. I
just,
mean, like, shenanigans, like, you go to, like, there's no such thing. Like, I used to go to a party in grade 12 and I'd bring my disposable camera. And so, like, there's no video proof. There is no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually, like, screw up, get in trouble, have some fun, and there'd be no video evidence for it. You didn't have to, like, you weren't always recorded.
Yeah, like, getting in fights and stuff.
Yeah.
There's no
like,
evidence of that
there's
fight.
No evidence of that. Or, like, you could, like, nowadays I feel like if I made tons of stupid mistakes as a kid, at young adult, that nobody will ever find out about, and, like, you learn from it and you grow, and then you just don't do it again.
Yeah.
Now you go to a party and you do something stupid and somebody takes a picture of it.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows about
Everybody
it. Now
knows.
That's you're pegged with that forever. You could actually like really get in some trouble for doing some like 15-year-old stuff. But
yeah.
you're like, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a crazy world. It's
I can't put it into perspective what it would have been like at high school without a phone kind of thing. Like how you guys went through the kind of stuff. Like I think about it. Not, personally, I think it would have been more fun. I think I think I would have had an even better time because like I can't say I'm like in love with my phone. Like I always had flip phones. I never had iPhones until my parents were like, yeah, no, this don't work. Like,
that's
yeah,
right.
change it up. I have like 3 or 4 burners at the house. And
yeah.
like, it was cheaper for me. And like, I don't understand. Like, I can't think of what school was like without that kind of stuff. Like personal connection, like growing up, like I said, I used to show up to friends' houses on bikes
right.
and stuff like that.
That's
so
right.
I can have a perspective of it, but at the same time being like fully that way is
all the time.
It doesn't register to me because like I've always had this
from
the minute I was 13. I've always had a phone, right?
That's right.
So at 13, my parents were like, "Hey, you're allowed to bike downtown now. You're allowed to adventure a little more." They gave me more slack on the leash, kind of thing,
yeah.
right? So like since 13 on, I've always had a phone. I've always had that connection with somebody.
Yeah.
So I didn't. It kind of
well think about this
lost its way
in regards to we didn't have phones. Mm. So when you got to an age where it was all based on like how brave you were.
Mm-hmm.
So like my mom would say like, okay, listen, you got to stay on the block when I was like 7. And so you're like, okay, I can only have friends on this block. Mm-hmm. But I would used to leave the house at 7 in the morning to hang out with my best friend, Pero, who lived one door down. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have to come home again until 5 o'clock.
Until streetlights turned on.
Until streetlights turned on. And so mom says, like, you're 7, you're not allowed to leave the block. Well, you turn 8 and you're like, let's go to the block next. Mm-hmm. And then you'd come home and your mom would be like, where'd you be? And they'd be like, oh, you know, I was playing around.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And then you turn 9 and you're just like, let's leave Dickensfield. Let's go to Thickwood. Mm-hmm. And then you get 10. And so, like, as you get braver, you get to explore. Mm. But your parents, unless they see you or somebody, like, calls, hey, I saw Elliot in Timberley, like, they're never going to know where you are.
I've had that same scenario.
And so it was, like, it was a cool sense of freedom in regards to, mm-hmm. like, that I think kids don't have now. Because I'm just, like, when I give my son a phone, I'm just, like, it's GPS'd. Mm-hmm. I'm going to know where you are all the time. All
times. Oh, you're going to be that parent?
Oh, 100%.
It'd be wrong if he wasn't.
Nowadays,
it would be wrong if he wasn't, because in reality, I don't think that's being overprotective. I think that's just, in reality, you're just being smart in that sense. Like, even between me and my girlfriend for our relationship, she just knows that she's a smaller person and she's genuinely just concerned for herself. Right. So she has it even on herself. So when she goes out with friends and stuff, she's like, if you just take a look every so on and just to make sure, like, things are still moving and everything. And I don't mind that. I don't think I'm stepping out of boundary for that. Cause me, it's just making sure she's safe.
That's right.
You never know. Stuff is crazy. Right. And so, like, as a parent, I can say, I appreciate you doing that kind of stuff, because that's just you looking out for your kids.
So these are the kind of podcasts where I get distracted and they go over. Tanner's been hitting me with signal for a while. We have a segment called the Mac City Minute. It's brought to you by McMurray Denture Center. If you ever get your teeth knocked out and you need new pearly whites, they can hook you up. So McMurray Denture Center, thank you for sponsoring the Mac City Minute. Tanner, hit him with the Mac City Minute.
All right, question number one. What is your favorite part of living next to the greenhouse?
The experience of it. If I'm being honest, never seen something like this before. So it's definitely a new perspective. Instead of seeing it on my phone or on a computer, I get to be a part of it, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Question number two. What was the best part of growing up on this side of the bridge for you?
Not being told I was born on the other side of the bridge. Beacon Hill kid for life.
That's awesome. I love that.
Question number three. What do you think is Fort McMurray's most underrated food spot?
Joma's Pizza. Up in Beacon Hill, 100%. Shout out Joma's Pizza. Without a doubt, best donairs in town.
We're going to talk about this more afterwards.
Question number four. What is one thing people would be shocked to find out about yourself?
Genuinely a nice person, even though I may not seem like it based off of my appearance.
Nice. And your final question. What is one thing about living in Fort McMurray that you love the most?
What it provided me based off of my life choices to lifestyle and what it offers for me. I am who I am because of Fort McMurray, and I don't plan on living here forever, but if I ever leave somewhere else, this place will always be with me. It'll be a part of who I am for my entire life.
There you go.
And those have been your five questions.
Okay, everybody grew up, like, the cool thing about Joma's is there's a bunch in town, so we can have a discussion about this. Now, Joma's is known for, like, I think there's two categories of food you can, well, there's three, but nobody messes with the third one, as far as, like, okay, so you got donairs, mm-hmm. you got donair pizza, mm-hmm. and then you have other. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I've never really had a conversation about, like, which Joma's has the better other in regards to their salads or, like, their
sides
and stuff. But, like, let's talk about donairs and donair pizza. Mm. So you obviously grew up in Beacon Hill, so you're going to say they have the best. You have no choice. And in your head, you're right.
100%.
So,
as a downtown person who has downtown Joma's, Beacon Hill is better than downtowns.
I don't like to show, like, listen, we're going to be real on this episode. Facts.
I tip like, extra for Beacon Hill to deliver it to Avasan, because the first time I called, they said they wouldn't because I was too far.
Right.
And now that I told them, like, I'll tip extra, I don't care about the extra 10 bucks, right, man, because I got to have it the best they offer.
So do you think that Beacon Hill has the best donair pizza and best donair in town? Or are you just going with the donair?
Debatable on the donair pizza.
See?
Maybe. Donair's tenfold best in the whole entire city.
I'll
back that up for anybody. Yeah. Anybody says otherwise.
Yeah. But
I grew up there, so I definitely got a backup.
Yeah. So me,
for pizza wise, I don't know, because you got the pizza shop that's out in Anzac. There's is
no, we're just talking Joma's. Like, because we can't, like, once we start talking.
Oh, just Joma's in general?
Yeah, like, once we start talking Cosmos.
Okay, so if you're, talking any Joma's in town, yeah. Beacon Hill's best.
For both.
For all of it.
Okay.
All of it, 100%.
So this is, and I'm going old school now, because the flavors have changed over the last little bit. And sorry, Joma's, I got to be real here. But I will, because I lived in Beacon Hill for so many years. I agree. The Beacon Hill Donair is, you can't beat it. Mm-hmm. Out of all the Jomas, like.
Well done meat with a crisp to it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they crush it. Now, as far as the Donair pizza is concerned, I'll put them in a solid second place. Solid second place for the Donair pizza. But for me, Thickwood Jomas, that's my favorite Donair, or my favorite Jomas for pizza. Is that one. But once again, yeah, it's where I grew up.
Yeah.
So I'm biased. It's what I like ate my whole life.
Yeah.
But the Donairs in Beacon Hill, they just know how to do it. Like what you just we might have to get some Donairs. Yeah, we might have to get some Donairs here.
To place an order. Yeah.
Or though, like that whole unit.
Yeah.
Like they, I don't, what's the little flavors? Is it no? What's the?
It's Beacon Hill. Yeah.
Beacon Hill Corner Store. Yeah. Now it's like owned by place. A guy named Fred. So now
yeah.
I call it Fred's Corner Store.
Yeah.
And then they used to rent movies out of there.
That's
everything.
Right.
Like there used to be Jason there. There was another gentleman that was there. I can't remember his name, so I won't even try. And
yeah.
There's Fred who's there. And
yeah.
You got Joma's. You got the preschool. You got Shaw. Right. They've always been there, right?
Yeah.
So it's
you
just
got the liquor
store.
The liquor store is my favorite. But what's hilarious about that corner store is you now have. And it was there when I lived there. You have the Shell that's, like, right down the street. Mm-hmm. And the Shell does have more options. But you still don't go to the Shell. Nobody goes to the Shell.
The Shell is cheaper, but nobody goes to the Shell.
You don't. You support, like, you support local.
Shout out to Fred. Best milkshakes in town. You got to check it out.
Oh, their ice cream's pretty bomb.
There?
Their ice cream's bomb.
Oh,
bomb.
Man.
Soft serve, scoop. Milkshake, all of it. They got it figured out, man. They take care.
Same thing with that liquor store, though. That liquor store was awesome. And if you told, like, hey, listen, I want to drink. At the time, I used to drink Mickey's. They're, like, they were Mickey's beer. They're out of, I want to say, Boston. But they come out of, like, a little stubby green bottle. Mm-hmm. And when you undo the cap, they have, like, those, like, little riddle things in there that you got to figure out with the pictures. And I was just like, hey, listen, I drink Mickey's. You brought it in here. I bought it from you. And what happened? They're like, oh, we don't bring it in because of X, Y, and Z. Oh, okay, I recognize it probably wasn't a big seller. And the next time I went there, they had Mickey's. And they're just like, hey, like we're not going to bring a lot of this. But at the time, I'm in my 20s to drink. I was in there regularly enough. They're just like, if you're coming in like on a regular basis, we'll stock a few of these for you.
They did that for me in my favorite whiskey.
What's your favorite whiskey?
J.P. Apple Whiskey.
J.P.?
J.P. Weiser's.
J.P. Weiser's. Oh, okay, when you put the Weiser's in there. It's like,
yeah.
J.P. Weiser's. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Butterscotch Ripple, they brought that in there. Cherry brandy for my parents.
Do you still drink whiskey?
Don't drink anymore.
Okay.
Not after I got sick.
Okay. Okay.
Not against it.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, we got some whiskeys here that you got to try, like when
the time is right.
When the time is right.
When the time is right, 100%.
Yeah. Cool. Elliot loves timing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's all about timing. Speaking about timing, we're out of it.
Yeah, we're 28 minutes.
There we go. Listen, man, thank you very much for coming on the show. We'll definitely have you in a new set as well. Yeah. But before I cut you loose, you get a shameless shout out or plug. So you got the mics, the camera, and the lights. Have fun.
Beacon Hill Jomas. Again, 100%. Fred's Corner Store, Beacon Hill Corner Store up in Beacon Hill. And my family, 100%. Wouldn't be here without you guys. And then I wouldn't be on this podcast without you guys. Cool experience.
There you go. Very cool, man. Like, it's one of many. Now that we got you and you see how it's easy.
Break the ice.
This
break
is
the
just
ice
gonna
and
keep
the nerves
rolling,
a little bit.
Man.
I can definitely say the hands are a bit clammy sitting here with cameras and stuff. It's definitely, yeah.
It's fun, though.
It was fun, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're going to be you're going to be a regular staple on the show. I know.
Definitely
it now.
Different on the other side of the camera instead of watching it on a phone. It's a little pressuring, but at the same time, no pressure.
There you go.
Just wait until you watch yourself from the other side of that camera.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do that. I've been thinking about that too after you asked me if I wanted to do it. I don't know if I'm going to do that yet.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to, but I don't know. It'll be a little weird.
I'll let the missus know about it so then she'll bring it up.
She'll hear about it today.
That's
I'll tell
awesome.
Her, I'll be like, yeah, I did this and it was kind of crazy. And I'll definitely try and dress a little bit more appropriate for the next
one.
You're dressed as appropriately as I am.
That's exactly
I'm lazy as hell.
That's
man.
Right. Anyways, man, everybody
lazy.
At home, Oh, what do you want to say, Tanner?
Lazy is just another word for efficient.
That's exactly it. That's a motto of mine. It's a motto of mine. Work hard, or work smart, not hard. So, anyways, thanks for coming. Can't wait to have you back again. Sir. Everybody at home, thank you so much for tuning in. It means the world to me. It really does. Big shout out to our sponsors, Noral Toyota and McMurray Denture Center. We really do appreciate your support. Everybody at home, I hope you're having a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hey guys, Karam here with McMurray Denture Center. A lot of people are surprised to hear this, but I'm born and raised here. So is this company. We're local, just like you. Come on in, we'll help you out.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Really?